And like I said, it's there are still a few more topics I'd like to do. I don't know if next week we're just going to get back to the Gospel of Mark where we left off at the beginning of summer. But we are looking at one specific theme throughout today, Sunday school, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. And the theme today is living a victorious Christian life. It talks about how to be victorious in your Christian life. One of the challenges as a pastor I see, and I've even dealt with in my own life, is that there's not very many Christians today living a victorious Christian life. They're not having victory over sin. Because they're not having victory over sin, they are becoming very apathetic in their ways. And so today, it's just going to be some encouraging things. It's going to be some understanding how we can have victory over sin, the promises about the victory over sin, and just there's a lot of different great things covered in all these this different thought pattern. We got to remember that we live as a believer. We have an enemy that's actively on the prowl. He's trying to tempt us to sin. He's trying to destroy our lives. And the bad thing is not only is the enemy out there, the flesh, our own flesh, is pulling us away too. And that if you have a sin that you struggle with, it's some type of addiction. And once again, some people think of addiction, they think drugs, they think booze. But there is other types of addiction, you know, pornography, addicted to being the gossip and jealousy and things like that. And that has such a pull, strong pull on people to the point where many times believers feel like they don't. There is no hope. There's no encouragement. How in the world are we going to ever do this? And the devil wants us to think that living the victorious Christian life is impossible. He wants us to believe that we cannot have victory because we cannot overcome this certain sin, because we cannot overcome what he wants us, what God says we can. Many times what we do is we're just set right on the shelf. It's because of the fact he knows if he can get us to admit defeat, if he knows that we get our eyes off of him and we get discouraged by our own lives, the devil will get us to be ineffective for God. It's because we admit defeat, we give in to the sin, he tricks us into believing we have to live under sin's power. He comes to the point and says, hey, you have no other choice. You're stuck here. You've tried how many times? You tried how many different things? And I'm tired of that lie. I've believed that lie before at different times in my life, and I don't want to believe that lie. I believe that Jesus conquered sin, he conquered death, and he says we can have victory. And what God wants us to do, he wants us to live victorious. I cannot tell you how many times in the morning I've gotten up, you know, first thing in the morning, and I'm excited. I'm on fire for God. I want to take the world over for the Lord that day. But then by lunchtime, what happens? Many times you already don't know what you might struggle with. You've already been maybe lazy about something, maybe yelled at your mate, maybe kicked the dog, got mad at somebody that you saw in traffic, or you did some type of sin that caused you to be like, there it is again. But the Bible says that we can have victory. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid our sin debt for us. And the reality is that we can live for him. We can have victory. But many times there's that one sin that we struggle with that many times we live in defeat. And maybe we've tried everything. And we get to the spot where we let the devil convince us, the devil trick us. You can't live victorious. It's not possible. You can't overcome that. You might as well just live with that sin and just try to do everything else right. But you're missing the whole point there when you do that. You're missing the fact that if you have that sin in your life, you're not communicating with God. You've been put on the shelf because it becomes an idol in your life. And you say, I'm not going to deal with that because I can't deal with it. And we've listened to the lies of the devil so long that there are so many people that are Christians and believers that just come to this realization and they believe, I have no hope. There's no way I can overcome this. But that's not what God says at all. God in his word tells us we can have victory. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to give us the victory. So I don't care what sin it is. If you're born again, if you have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, he says you can have victory through him. Stop believing the lie of the devil. And today we're going to look at this. First thought is what God wants for us, or God says we can live victoriously. And then also tonight, this morning, we're going to look at some practical steps in the Sunday morning service. And tonight we're going to look at some different thoughts too, when it ties all in together, because I believe this is so important, so key. It's something we talk about often. You say, Pastor, this is something we heard about last year, the year before. You hear about it in every message, hopefully. We can be victorious. You do not have to be a servant of sin. And I'm sure we're going to get to Romans 6 some a little bit today. Romans 6 is inside your devotions. It talks about that you don't have to be a servant of sin and that you can yield your body unto righteousness. And whatever you yield your body to, that's your servant of. People say, I'm not a servant of sin. If you do not conquer and have victory through Jesus Christ in your sin life, you are a servant to that sin, it says. I don't care which sin it is, if it's bitterness, I don't care if it's the sin of idolatry or the sin of jealousy or the sin of, it doesn't really matter. If you cannot give that over to the Lord and be your servant to that sin. I didn't say that. He says that. And we're going to look at that throughout the day in Romans chapter 6. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, I want you to see where he says, this is the will of God. Because some people think, well, is that really what God wants for my life? He says it right here. We're going to start in verse number 1. It says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. So this is how you're supposed to walk. This is how you're supposed to please God. It's supposed to abound more and more. Some people say, this is just a preacher preaching. The preacher just trying to find something to talk about for 40 minutes or 30 minutes. No, he says, we're supposed to live a life that pleases God. He says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. He says in verse number 3 right here, for this is the will of God. People say all the time to me, especially younger people, it's amazing, it hasn't happened as much, but 40 years ago when I was growing up, it was always what? The will of God, the will of God. And young people used to ask the question, I wonder what the will of God is for my life. I wonder what the will of God is for my life. When's the last time you ever heard a young person ask that to you? Nowadays, it's more like how can I fit God into where I'm at instead of saying, what is God's will for my life? Well, and we know the will of God here. There's certain times throughout the Bible it says, this is the will of God. It's nice. He puts it there. There is no doubt what he's getting ready to say. This is what he wants. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. And that's the key word there, sanctification. That ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You say, Pastor, what's that word sanctification mean? Well, sanctification means that as we become like Christ, it means maturing as a believer. I always like to think about it. Salvation, once again, when you get saved, you get all the Holy Spirit, but it's a process. First of all, it begins with justification. We're saved, we've been justified, and then it's going to end someday all the way over here in glorification. Pastor, you've taught this before. You say, it's important, it's key. Glorification's over here. We're going to be like him. In my mind, sanctification is, I'm going from this spot as a newborn babe in Christ and now I have the Holy Spirit of God living with me. I've been justified and I want to become like him. That's not just Pastor Pease's thought. That's not what he says. God says that's his desire, that he desires that we be conformed into the image of his son. So my responsibility and my job, or what I think God wants to do with me on this world, is to get me as close like Christ as he can in this world. And he brings things in our lives. He brings objects. He allows things to happen. And we don't always know why. We don't always understand. But we start here at justification. You know, that glorification's over there. How much can I, and we're going to be like him. How close can I get to be like him now? You say, Pastor, does God really want that? He does. He says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Christ-likeness is the greatest thing that you can have. It's the greatest attainment. I don't care about riches. I don't care about your athletic abilities, your talents. The most you are like Christ. And that's why he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. When we are producing those things, those are the things that God is looking for. That poor in spirit, that's the person that's blessed, that person that mourns over their sin, the person that's merciful, all those different things that we learned about and we understood throughout this year about being blessed. We probably all can quote Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But that next verse in 29 says it this way: for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. His desire is that we will be conformed to the image of his son. We like that verse. Well, we know all things are going to work together for good. We know that. We understand that all things are going to work together for good. We can trust God. But what is he doing? He allows these things. What does for good mean? What does for good understand? It means we become more like Jesus. It means that we bring glory to God. We were created by him and for him. One of the points I was looking through, and we're not going to use it today, but with this victory over sin, that God can do anything. And he created all things. All things were created by him. They were created for him. All, you know, he should be glory and dominion forever. And all those different things. And so, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that this is God's will for your life. It's right here. It's your sanctification. That you would learn how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That you would learn how to control your own body through God's help. It says in verse number 6 that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Now, if he didn't give us victory over sin and he calls us to holiness, boy, that would be cruel. I expect you to be holy, but I'm going to make you live in this sin. I'm not going to give you victory over that anger. I'm not going to give you victory over that addiction. I'm not going to give you victory over your finances. No, that'd be ridiculous. He's not called us to the uncleanness. He has called us. This is the will of God, that we would possess our vessel, that we would take our bodies that he's given us, the ones that we're responsible for, and that we would learn how to possess it for sanctification, becoming like his son, and honor. And so and once again, there's a lot that you can teach in this patches, and we're not going to go over all of it. But I did want you to see verse number 8 also. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. And when people get angry with you, when you preach and teach about holiness, they're not mad at you. Well, they might act like they're mad at you. They're mad at God. They don't like what God expects from you. And he wants us to live victorious. And I don't know about you. Some people would be like, man, that's just hard. To me, that's glorious, because I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of dealing with those things I struggle with. I want to have victory. I desire to have victory. I desire to be able to possess my vessel with sanctification and honor. When I hear messages and preaching and teaching about how to have victory over sin, it's like, hallelujah, rejoice, because I'm tired of dealing with this. I'm looking forward to the day where I don't have to ever deal with sin, but God has promised me victory here. But that's not where you see most Christians living. Most Christians be like, oh, that's just how I am. No, that's a lie. That's a lie the devil said. If you have the Holy Spirit of God, it might be your temperament, but it is not your final destination. It's not what it has to be. It might be your personality, but at the same time, God can take and use that personality and that temperament for his honor and for his glory. And that's what he's saying. This is the will of God for your life, to stay the way you are. No, the will of God for your life, as he says, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. You should be able to control your own vessel. So here's some thoughts. And I once again, this is supposed to be encouraging, is because of the fact that there's just some great verses that teaches this. You might say that sounds like a pipe dream. You might say, there's no way anybody can live victoriously. You've missed it. You've bought into the lie of the devil. Think about some of the verses it says here. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have victory. Think about what it says in Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Conquerors. That's what he says. We can be conquerors. We can overcome. With God's help, we can overcome the sin. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. In other words, he says, always causes us to triumph. Romans 6, and once again, you can't preach about living victorious without at least looking a little bit in Romans chapter 6. It says, Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You are freed from this sin. You are no longer servants of sin. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? The Bible says, God forbid. God forbid you look at that way, that you look at grace as a license to sin. Grace be, I'm on my way to heaven. It's okay that I act like this and do this. No, he desires, his will for your life is that you would learn to possess your vessel, your body, and honor and sanctification and honor. Philippians 4:13 puts it this way, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It didn't say I can do all those things but overcome that besetting sin. It didn't say I can do all those things except for learn how to forgive. I can do all those things except for stop being afraid. And all this, no, he says, no, you can do all things through Christ. You have the ability to come, and I don't know what that sin is that maybe you struggle with. There have been times in my life where I've had certain things that I guess kind of latched on and hung on. And we teach people one of the first things, that verse in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's because we need that. We need to learn to agree with God because we have a fleshly nature that's at war with us. But we can have the victory. Romans 8:31 says it this way, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, you know what? Who's going to be against us? Who's going to be able to tell him, God, you can't help here? Romans 6 verses 6 and 7 says, knowing this, the old man is crucified with him, but the body of sin, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Does it ever feel like that way? It doesn't. But that's why we have faith. That's why we reckon ourselves dead. That's why we put that accounting term out there and say, you know what? I'm reckoning myself dead by faith. I believe what God says. And that's when he says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's faith is the victory. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we become a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the devil is trying to get to the spot that he makes you feel like, you have to deal with that. You have no choice but listen to that, to watch that, to react that way. All those different things. They're not living by the faith that God gives us. Let's go ahead and take our Bible and look at 1 Corinthians 10. In 1 Corinthians 10, there's a wonderful verse that's there. And it helps me and encourages me to understand there is always a way of escape. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. First Corinthians 10, and you can look in verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look what it says in verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. He said, there's nothing new under the sun. The things you've dealt with, the things you're dealing with, people have dealt with that. God knew about those things when he told you could have victory. He knows how strong the pool is, he knows how strong he is. Those next three words are such an encouragement, aren't they? It says, four words, but God is faithful. We're going to deal with temptations. We're going to face temptations. We're going to face the devil. Once again, he's good at what he does. He's been doing it for a long time. And he's we're no match for him on our own. And he says, but God is faithful. No matter what the temptation is, no matter what the presentation is, no matter how much it may would benefit for you for a little while, no matter what the pleasure of sin is for a season, no matter what it is, I don't care what it is in your life. You might say, well, I can't have control over this, or I can't stop doing this. I just don't have. He says that God is faithful. When it comes to God, we'll be like, of course, God's able. That's the point, is God's willing and able to work through you. You can't do it on your own. That's why you have to yield your body unto righteousness. Don't be yielding it to the unrighteousness. You have a choice, but God is faithful. And that's what is he faithful with? It says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. He says there's never going to be anything in your life that you're not able to handle without his help. I know some people go and say, well, God's not going to give you more than you can handle. No, he gives you more than you can handle, but it's with him that he's able to handle it. You can't do it on your own strength. And I know sometimes I talk to people who weren't living for God, and they hold to that verse and say, you know, God's not going to give me anything I can't handle. God is giving you something you can't handle to show you how much you need him. Because if you try to handle it on your own, it realizes he's bringing this back to help you understand, I need God. I need God in my life. And now he's saying, with God, yes, you're going to be able to handle it. Yes, with God. And that's what he says here. He says, to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. He makes a way to escape. There is always a way out. There is always a no that you can say. There's always a walking away. And that's what in the next service, we're going to look at some practical steps that help us to be able to overcome temptation and things like that. But I want you to just today just kind of remind you, this is something that we need to do. We need to live a victorious Christian life. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren don't need to see us struggling. They need to see us having victory. And I know that none of us are perfect and none of us are ever going to be perfect. But at the same time, they need to see people having victory in their Christian life instead of living a defeated Christian life. Instead of, hey, I'm not going to church, or instead of hearing them talk about the bad things about our Christian brothers and sisters and talking to them like the scripture says, you go and talk to your family and you wonder why your family doesn't want to have anything to do with your church family. It's because you've trashed them for so long. It's the idea here that we need to learn that they see us living victory. And we believe this verse that God is faithful. He is faithful. He will always be faithful, and we can always trust in him. Let's go ahead and take our Bible now to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. And I think we would be liars if we said that we never had anything that we struggled with. There was not some type of sin. There's something that we feel like we can't handle. And that's what God's doing. He's showing you. You can't handle this on your own. You need me. That's what it says in Romans chapter 13. Look what it says, verses 12 through 14. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I love that. You know, we're fighting a very dark enemy, and we are supposed to have the armor of light. Our light should be shining. We're told to put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter number 6. It's a really interesting study, different things that we're told to put on. But here's one of those things. It shows you that it's just saying there, the night is far spent. It's the day is at hand. It's time to stop just playing around with it. And let's put on the armor of light. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, also in wantonness, not in strife and envying. It's amazing. He says, look, don't spend your time walking in these things. Instead, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He said, where do you see the victories? When we put on the armor of God, when we put on Christ, when we put on that blessed plate of righteousness, when we put on that helmet of salvation, when we put on the armor of God, that is when we're going to have victory. And I believe the armor kind of represents who Jesus is. We're putting on the armor. We're putting on who he is and putting on his strength and putting on the things that can protect us from these sins and from these addictions and from the struggles that we have. But instead, many times, if it was Jesus, of course, Jesus would never have any problems with these sins. Of course, Jesus wouldn't struggle with addictions. He never sinned. But at the same time, that's what we have. We have the Spirit of God living within us. And he's telling us, you can have victory. You do not have to sin. You can have victory over sin. Let's now go to Romans chapter 6, and we'll stop here. Romans chapter 6. No matter what we're facing, God offers us a way of escape. I challenged when we went through Romans chapter 6 a number of years ago in Sunday school class. I told the class, if you really want to learn how to have victory, start memorizing Romans chapter 6. And then when you start feeling the temptation to do wrong, and don't get me wrong, I've heard preachers say all the time, you know, the temptation isn't the sin, it's when you act upon the temptation. But in James chapter 1, it talks about how we're, and I don't disagree with that, but in James chapter 1, it talks about how we're drawn away by our own lust, that many times these temptations are things that we should flee from. We shouldn't have any part in. And the things that we put ourselves at and the situations we put ourselves in, we are tempting ourselves and we're putting ourselves in a spot of sin. We need to, as I said in Romans chapter number 13, we just read, don't put on the works of the flesh. You know, put on Jesus Christ. Don't give a provision for the flesh. Don't give the flesh a chance to work because it is strong. It will try to draw us. Romans chapter 6, it says in verse number 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's his answer. There is no reason, no way that you should continue in sin just because you're a believer, just because you're going to have the grace of God. You're looking at the grace of God the wrong way. It says in verse number 7, for if he that is dead is freed from sin, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse number 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey the lust of it. Don't let it stay in your body. Here's your choice in verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14 is, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And it's amazing that it tells us that we're not under the law, we're under the grace. Verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now I read that verse and there's two reactions. Number one is, I don't want to be a servant of sin. I am a believer. I'm a child of God. I am tired of sin. And he says, if I yield my body to give into that sin, at that moment in time, I am a servant of that sin. And that thought disgusts me. I don't want that in my life. But that's not often what we think about. We think about the pleasure of sin for a little while. We see that we hadn't been punished for the sin, so we feel like we're getting away with it. We feel like no one else is being harmed by our sin. We believe these lies of the devil. But the Bible says right there in verse number 16, he says that you are actually becoming a servant of that sin. But the wonderful thing, the second thing that encourages me, is I can yield my body unto obedience and unto righteousness, that I can be a servant of God. The choice is mine. The victory had been won. I have a choice now. Either I can yield my body to servants of sin or servants of God and the servants of righteousness. And we would look at that and say, the choice is easy. Pastor, it doesn't feel that way. When I'm being tempted, the pull is so strong. You have a choice. What is God's will for your life? This is the will of God, that we would learn to possess our body, our vessel, and sanctification and honor. So how do we become like him? That's what his desire for our life is, that we would become like him. So here's the thing. Do you believe the lies of the devil? There is a lot of people out there. We were talking yesterday. We went out door knocking. We had three different groups that go out yesterday, and all three, I think, had positive experiences. And some of the other groups that wasn't with me had at least a couple doors, at least one other group, and it was great. And we talk to people, and when I talk to individuals and people, it's people struggle. I can't go back, or I can't do this, and that there's a sin they're dealing with that they don't want to overcome. They don't want to admit it. They don't think there's anything wrong with it. They think they can tie it away, put it in a box, and just have it sit over there and say, that's just an accessory of mine. But that sin is taking away the victorious Christian life. The devil wants us to think that living the victorious Christian life is impossible. The devil wants us to think we have to give into that addiction. We have to give into that sin. He knows that if we can get us to admit defeat, he will hinder our effectiveness for God. Not just hinder our effectiveness for God. He will render us useless if we continue to allow to have that sin just staying in our lives. He wants us to trick us into believing us that we have to live under sin's power, and we don't. So today, like I said, today I'm hoping and praying that we walk away and say, somebody get some victory today. Somebody would say, you know what? Faith is the victory. I believe what the Bible says. I believe I do not have to sin. I believe with God's power and God's strength and God's help, I can overcome even this thing that maybe I've dealt with for many, many years. I can be a conqueror, just like he says. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, not somebody else's vessel. We are good at telling everybody else, I think you should do this, and I think you should do that. His vessel in sanctification and honor. We do not have to wonder what God wants us to do. He already told us, this is the will of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for the fact that we can have victory. I know that this is a spot, this is a subject that many people struggle with. And they have a certain sin, or they have a certain addiction. They have something that has haunted them, that has chased them for years. And God, many of us at different times in our life have just settled down to the fact that it's just the way it has to be. But Lord, we're reminded in your word, we can have victory. We are reminded that you are faithful and that we can have a way of escape. We are reminded that we are free from sin, that we do not have to be servants of sin, that we have a choice to yielding our bodies. And Lord, I pray that we would take these things and grab a hold of them and say, God, I want to believe this. Faith is the victory. I believe what your word says. And Lord, would you help me to have victory in this area of my life? And Lord, I don't know what everyone's area is. It seems obvious and you can see it. They've even said it. But Lord, help us not to resign to the lies of the devil. Help us to believe that we can have victory. Help us by faith put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to put on that armor of light that would shine in this dark, dark world. Lord, help us today to have some victory. In Jesus' name. Amen.